Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Beautiful downtown Racine, Wisconsin. It's actually the north side. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, you're not downtown.
Freaking liar. It's a podcast that lies all the time and really doesn't know what we're talking about anyway. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
Man, it's weird with only like six people, isn't it?
That's kind of nice.
I'm good. I am good with the small crowd tonight. Okay, so let's go ahead and get the beer court going here.
I think we can still get some chaos going.
After last week's episode, literally, Franz walks into my office today and goes, "That was a fucking hot mess last week." Yes, it was Franz. Okay,
beer court. You know when the regulars are like, "That was a really rough show." Yeah. It was a rough show.
Yeah, all right, let's do this. Da da da. Da 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 da.
Da 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 da. By the power invested in me, by the state of Wisconsin, I now declare this beer court to order. And today's defendant, Tom.
So it was an absolutely unbelievably gorgeous start to November here in Wisconsin. It was like 75 degrees out and sunny out. So it's like, so we're going to do a little summer throwback here. We are going to be doing a peach lager by Abita out of...
New Orleans.
Out of New Orleans. They're out of New Orleans proper, out of the city proper. So this is actually an old craft brewery. I forget how long they've been around, but quite a while.
We have had other stuff from them, and we always thought that beer was a little off, maybe because by nature they have to be brewing in warmer temperatures.
Correct. But this is a lager, and you guys know me, I like my pilsners and my lagers. It is a peach flavored. We had a little discussion though. The only thing you don't put in beer is frickin' pumpkin. Okay?
Pumpkin spice.
No, you're right. Pumpkin spice. It's not pumpkin the right. You know something?
Is that one of the Spice Girls?
Even the pumpkin would probably not be bad. It's all the damn other crap they throw in when they throw pumpkin in a beer. So we are going to go ahead and give this a try. This is part of their Harvest series, and we'll give it a try. So we have tried them in the past with, not great results.
We are
results.
Getting some fruit off there.
Oh, it smells like peach. God, oh, no.
It doesn't smell very good, that's for sure.
No, it smells like peach.
It's a wine cooler.
I feel like the peach in the beer.
It's like a wine cooler.
It tastes like they meant to make it skunky.
This is a.
Don't defend it.
I'm not gonna defend
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's because I ate too many gummy worms.
No. But no, it's so here's the thing. It's got a really heavy peach taste, but it's not sweet.
Yeah.
At all.
No, it's not sweet. No,
you're right, that's a good point. It's not sweet at all.
So that actually is one up on the average.
That is an up on it. But that peach is overpowering.
Yeah.
Okay? A hint of peach would have been okay with this.
Right.
Because it's a really dry, good lager. Mm-hmm. But the peach is just...
Do you want a
tiny sip just to see what I mean? I don't want it sweet. It's a lager. I don't want it sweet.
But a peach is naturally sweet. This doesn't have a...
It's dry with an peach on it.
It's all peach.
It is. It's all peach. It's peach on the front end, peach on the back end. It's peach in the middle. You got
peach in the morning, peach in the evening.
Yeah. Peach around supper time.
Yeah, I guess, you brewers have those. Lining Kugels have their berry Weiss.
If you like a berry Weiss... I wouldn't even call this a shandy. I'd say this is more like a berry vice or something along those lines. If you like the flavors of peach, you're going to love this beer. It tastes like a fucking peach. Not sweet, but it tastes like a peach.
It tastes like a peach, but without all the good sweetness of a
no,
peach.
No, you know, I don't, but I don't want sugary beer. At that point, I'll have a wine cooler. I'll have a peach wine cooler.
Well, no, but think about this. If it was indeed a really hot day, or we were actually outside in the afternoon.
Yeah,
and it
on
was
a hot
nice summer.
Okay, no, yeah, no,
there you might have a point.
Yeah, if this was a hot summer day outside, taking this outside and drinking it, I suspect it's not very high on the alcohol content. What does it say? Anything? for alcohol content?
4.5.
4.5. Yeah, yeah. It's a light one.
Yeah. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, it's not bad though. I mean, it's no. Okay. Nothing I would rush out to buy.
Yeah.
But it
tastes better than it smells.
Oh boy, here you go.
Yeah, yeah. So
I would say
hi, noobs. Noob and noobette are watching us. Hey, noobs. So a couple of our cast members just moved to Florida. For those of you who don't know, who didn't see last week's show, the teary goodbyes that we've done to them. But it's glad you guys are watching in. All right, so I guess we should wrap this beer court up and make our verdict on this, Rob.
Yeah, this has already gone on too long.
Yeah, it really has. especially for this beer. Okay, so again, not really probably our favorite beer out there. I'm gonna go in the middle of the road on this one. Yeah. I'm not gonna say it's bad.
I gotta say, I'm okay with it now. I took a few sips. I cleared the palate. I don't think it's the greatest thing on earth.
I don't like it,
but I like it. I'm okay with it.
I'll go middle of the road on it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to take
a
hard stand.
I'm not much of a peach drinker.
I'm not for the pussification of America. So,
whoa!
I guess that's
a
burst out.
Hard stand.
All right. Hammer.
On the first count of pussification, I'm going to find guilty as charged. On the second count of rast ass, I'm going to also find guilty. But I'm going to find guilty also of being tasty enough to drink. So,
I'm going to finish it.
You're guilty as fuck, but I'm drinking you anyway.
Yeah.
There are many beers that I'm not going to finish.
That's true.
I said many.
Okay.
All right. Hey.
All right, so, Rob, we have a special guest with us tonight.
Yes, and with us tonight is...
Zyba.
Yes, and he's a pop cannibal.
Okay, so, repeat his name again, because he kind of blanked out when he said that.
Go ahead.
It's Zyba.
Not Zyba, as I mispronounced it.
Thank you,
so
it's
horrible.
Zyba. All right.
Most people guess Zyba first. It's a good guess, but it's actually Zyba.
All right, and again, you are with Pop Cannibal Games?
Yeah, I mostly am Pop Cannibal Games.
Well, that makes life a lot easier.
Now you're with the Boston Gang, correct?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of us out here in Boston.
Yeah, you've been out to Beefing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've been out there, I think, two times.
Two, the first and second year.
Yeah.
No, second and third year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, all right, so we are going to be talking about tonight.
We're going to be talking about a couple of things, but are we going to start with...
Yeah. Makes sense.
Are we going to?
Yeah.
Let's go with that one first.
Start
sailing?
Yeah. Let's do that. All right?
All right.
So, what we really want to talk about first. Okay, so you've got a big launch coming up, and so this is something you're on. Your launch is on Fig, which I am not terribly familiar with, and your launch is
Make Sail.
Yep.
All right. Sailing.
Physics Construction Sailing.
Which
we actually did a plug for earlier, which is one of I think only four plugs we did this year, isn't it?
I do believe so. Yes, but. So, yeah, no, we plugged this one earlier.
So your publicist actually works sometimes.
Yeah, you're... So, yeah, the good news is your publicist is actually doing their job and got us information about this, and we had actually talked about this before.
All right. Wait, what did we say? What was the comment? It's like Waterworld, but it doesn't suck.
Right, that was the comment.
Saying that Waterworld sucks.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, but go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little rundown on what make? So, you again, it's a physics engine or construction set about sailing. But why don't you go ahead and give us the full rundown on that?
Yeah. So this is a third person adventure action game. But you start with like a small fistful of pieces. Think of it like fistful of Legos, and you get to glue those together to make a boat. Anything that's going to sort of work like a boat and have a sail, and then you ride on that. To get to an island where there's more pieces to build a better boat and try something more fancy, make it faster or heavier or shinier. And you keep doing this and going from island to island and get more and more boats and just becoming more awesome and more in control of your trip across the sea.
Do you end up being an... I gotta watch it. How many Illinois listeners do we have?
Go ahead and say it.
Well, now
you've
already
said it. Now you've already done it. Now you gotta say it.
So do you have Illinois assholes with huge boats, like, wrecking you with their wake?
So let me explain that to somebody who's from Boston.
Chicago. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, never mind. You already know. All right. I was going to explain the whole thing, Wisconsin lakes and Illinois boaters, but evidently if you've been in Chicago, you know already.
I'm a Michigander at heart, actually. That's where I go sailing every now and then.
All right, all right. So, this is an unusual concept for a game. I'll ask, where'd the concept for this game come from?
So, like I said, I'm from Michigan, and my grandfather is both a mathematician and a hobby sailor. So he would take me on these sailing trips all my life, and I'd also get these math lessons about what's going on with the wind, pushing the sail around. And at the same time, the artist I'm working with, he grew up on the islands of New Zealand and Greece. So his head is just full of all this beautiful, nautical shore imagery. So, we've been working together for a number of years on different projects, and we just talked about what we felt like doing next. This was it.
Well, again, always great to start with a subject that you guys love, but it makes for such a unique concept game that, again, it's a whole new genre in gaming, I think, as far as that goes.
Well, I definitely think there's some stuff new about it, but we're trying hard to not be too weird and new. I mean, you've seen some of our other stuff, like we did the puzzling about seating arrangements we can talk about later. We also did a writing game about poetry, and that's a lot of fun, but part of what we're trying to do now is hit something... it's both new and interesting, but it is more, it's familiar in some way. That's not going to be a totally, like, the subject is new, but we are drawing from this great, there are these games like Kerbal and Besiege, and more recently, Last Leviathan. It's this genre of building things and trying them out. So we want to, what we're doing that's not new is building and trying out, and what is new is you're trying out against the sea, you're trying against the wind. And so it's a mix of old and new.
So there's kind of like a one player. Is there like a two player where two people could build ships and sort of race them against each other?
So that and other multiple things are great ideas. I am the only programmer on this.
Wait, so you're doing you're doing everything?
Well, I'm using a game engine to a sense, but I've been writing buoyancy, water, and wind simulations for 2 years now to get to this point.
Wow!
are you using the Unity engine on this?
Yes, it is Unity.
All right. Which is just again such a great engine to work in. It really is. Yep. So, yep. Again, your funding's been going great on Fig. Can you tell me? I want to go in a little bit of the weeds on Fig, because Fig is relatively new. As far as funding games go and funding programs and crowdfunding goes, how'd you find that experience?
It's been really good for me. It is, of course, it's a much, being new, it's also a bit more complex to explain to people who, when they first encounter it than Kickstarter. Because it's got a part of it that operates just like Kickstarter. Where people, they see something, they pitch in, they get rewards. It looks and operates like just like Kickstarter. And on the back end, it goes to me just like Kickstarter.
Oh, it does. But
the other big part of it, yeah. So the part when people buy rewards, Fig isn't even taking a cut of that. It's just a credit card transaction, then it goes to me. And I, then I buy a bigger boat, and you never see me again.
Yarr!
Yeah. But then there's this whole other half of it that is investment. Where you can actually buy a share in the game and then get a return from the game's profits.
All right, so that's the part that kind of caught our eye as well. Now, do you, in the beginning, you put a value on the company or a value on the game? The game, I assume, an overall value, and then just proportion shares that way?
Well, so there's a cap on how much investment money we're willing to take, and I'm not sure how much of this you get to see up front when you click on it.
Not much.
Versus when you go down the road to investing. But there's these graphs that show, the projected revenue of the game versus other games. How many units would we have to sell at this much money for this much money to go back to you as an investor? Of course, all investing is a gamble. But games are, I think, an even bigger gamble. I certainly wouldn't want to dissuade anyone from throwing investor money at me, because I'm going to do my best, and I believe this. We are going to return a profit. But games in general, if you're really gearing your money, your life around making money, don't go into games.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things. Like if you dabble in like penny stocks and stuff like that. Right. You know, this could be, you know, because the same sort of entertainment value that penny stocks have.
And that's a good, that's actually a good way to think of it. You're right. You know, if you're looking to make a living doing this, no. But if you're thinking like along the line of a penny stock, where you're just doing some fun investing, you know, if you believe in a project, if you see something like Make Sale, you see this kind of, you know, cool new concept for a game that looks like something you want to invest in, yeah, invest in it.
You know, I think it makes backing projects as entertainment possibly sustainable. You get these products that have these huge high-level tiers that people who just love it and support it throw in. And this way they can throw in and have a good odds of breaking even and maybe even making money on it. So it's for the people who want to give big.
Yeah, and you know, and there's always, again, you see that with all these funding, whether it's GoFundMe, Kickstarter, Fig in this case, you see people who, and we've done it ourselves as a group, you know, funded something because we love the concept of what they're doing.
For sure.
I mean, there were quite a few games, you know, we went the extra money just to get our name on the box or sponsor something.
I was going to say, or your name on a sign.
Or our name on a sign or something. You know, like you said, sometimes you just want to throw a little extra money at it because you believe in the project. Not because you're expecting to see anything back out of the project. You just believe in the project. So it's kind of cool that you can do that with this. And there's always the possibility you may pick that piece of gold that pays back a little bit.
Well, so I left off one really important detail. To invest right now, for legal reasons, you literally have to be a millionaire.
Oh, really? Okay, really? That's an important detail because, you know what? None of us are investing at that point.
Except Larry.
I believe these are SEC rules. These are laws that are, you know, protect people from being swept up and, you know, taking somebody's money. You can't really afford to play with that kind of money. They have just gotten the SEC filing for non-millionaires to invest in Psychonauts 2 and only Psychonauts 2.
Wow. Bizarre.
So the secondary market's going to be a crowdsource.
To get the enough funding to get
enough
to do
money.
It. No, that's very. But that's games. No, that's very. That's
like
very
a mutual
interesting.
Fund for games.
That's very interesting. Right now that they do that, I guess I kind of understand it. But like me and Larry are talking about with penny stocks, you know, I'm sure they will open it up to that level of type and that type of investing. I can't see them not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost thousands on penny stocks.
Well, you know, you do penny stocks. For the entertainment value, it's again
and like, getting the Chinese.
Unless you're
Rob
Wall
actually
Street.
Used to be a millionaire.
No, like you said, this is all part of the entertainment value is investing in a game and seeing how it does. Right. You just kind of, oh my God, look, the game's doing great. Oh crap, I screwed up. You know, I invested in you know, something horrible. But that's entertainment value all to itself. So I can see that. All right, so the game basically, like you said, it's. Sailing physics, it's you take the parts. Let's talk a little bit about when you're in the game, how you actually get these parts, how you improve the quality of the parts you get. You know, so you start out with a basic construction set.
Yeah.
As a player, now I see, again, there are some offers, you know, when you in the game. Is it going to be like an in-game purchasing system where you can buy upgrades in the game, or is it...
So we want the world to be littered with things that you want. So the mechanism that you're trying to empower yourself to is to be a better traveler, and the rewards are freaking everywhere to travel to. So it's those pieces are littered around on islands, between islands. There's various units of energy that you pick up that can power some pieces that are a bit more magical. There are bits of story, there are bits of aesthetics. And so the gating is how good you are as a traveler to get to all the goodies that are lying around.
So is it pre-located islands that, so to speak, have this particular thing versus that particular thing? Or is it more Easter egg where it just sort of pops up at different locations and you can go back to an island and there may be a new thing there?
So it's procedurally placed. So you start in the eye of a storm, and so the whole world is in this wind that's swirling around in a circle. And each ring of the storm keeps you from getting through. And as you pick up certain islands, items off an island, you're going to be able to open up a new ring of the storm with a new set of islands get more items and open up each ring. And so you're sort of clearing out all of the good stuff in the middle, opening up new area, clearing all that out. So it's a real progression. So when you first start the game, everything is spawned and set and ready for you, and you just have to discover it.
Do you lose stuff on the way? So like if you take certain damage, you gotta maybe go back or...
Taking damage and like, you know, large whales knocking into you and you accidentally going too close to a rock and things blowing up is a huge part of the sort of fun aesthetic. But in testing, nobody wants to lose things they've invested too much in. Nobody wants to rebuild the same boat.
Really?
So we want to make failing easy and quickly and spectacularly. That's the way to do. So that you can sink, you can crash. Because sailing is hard enough, because we're actually trying to simulate some real sailing physics here. That's hard enough without punishing people with some like crazy inventory management and stuff.
So, if you know, based on that, is it if you're never sailed ever, is this going to be a hard game to pick up? I mean, you got to like read up on sailing before you tackle it, or
I could say right now it is, but I'm glad we have a year to sort that out.
Yeah, are you thinking you're going to put like an intro in?
Yeah, and so we got a lot of it's testing on people. This, you know, as you've seen, like Festival of Indie Games, going to places like that are just the best place to go and get 1,000 eyeballs on it and get everybody trying it out and figure out like who understands what to really test it for an audience.
Unlike Electronic Arts, I had to dig one.
Nice, there was a nice little twist on that knife. Not a problem.
I have some anger.
All right, so. So you've taken this out to a few of the game fests,
yeah.
And overall feedback. I mean, it looks like the excitement about the game is really good. Now, how was the
I was wondering. Wow. Did Tom cut off? He's right here.
I trailed off. I cut out for a moment there.
We haven't had one of those moments.
Just a senior moment. It was a buffer overflow. Yeah, that was it. But so you've taken this out to a few places, and are you incorporating that feedback in on the fly? Do you?
We've changed so much. So we've been working on this for a couple years. And we've taken it out, and the reason we've been working on it for a couple of years is because every time we take it out, we see an opportunity to make it better. That's my nice way of spinning it. The first iteration of the game, you actually would walk up to a piece, pick it up, and then carry it over and stick it to another piece. So you're carrying everything, which is really kind of cool the first time you build a boat in this great sense. And then nobody wanted to build a second boat because it was exhausting. Scrap that, move it up into the sky. And so now you have more of a bit more of a classic, much more like other games building. So we have a lot of differences there, but more like that. So it's easy to build. You have an inventory to build things. So we take that out to another session, a playtesting session here in Boston. When you go to Boston, you're going to get a bunch of, you know, we're on the Charles River, and you get in games, you get all these MIT, great people, but the MIT grads who all had free access to the sailing club. I don't want to say amateur sailors. I'm sure they're very good at what they do. They'll have now very strong feelings about both the physics and the math and the sailing. And I got slapped down pretty hard in some early builds about just the ridiculousness of, you know, my wind is just not, it's not behaving right. So go back a couple months, and I appreciate it. You know, it's frustrating because I want people to just like it, but like, you know, it's good feedback. And so we spent months after that last round. I'm like, as you know, simulating like when the wind hits a sail, because that makes the sail form a wing shape, there's, you know, a lift effect that pulls it perpendicular to the orientation of it, so you can actually like go upwind if you're at the right angles. And we've been doing all that stuff, and the game's a lot better for it now. Now we got to go out with more testing and see what the next big problem is.
It seems like early on the hardcore audience would be, but then eventually you got to bring it to the non-hardcore audiences, see how they respond.
Well, see, that's it. That's the situation. When you're going to developers, they're going to, and engineers and people who are familiar with sailing, they're going to look at those little details.
Mm-hmm.
But that might make it too hard.
And are they going to be the same people that really play it, though?
No, of course not.
You know.
But I got to tell you, get that right, and you're going to play it the next 30 years. Our favorite game, MechForce.
Right.
The reason we love MechForce is the guy who created the AI was a naval strategist, and It's so good. I mean, the understands war combat.
He knew AI.
And so 30 years later, we're playing essentially, you know, a turn-based, you know, move your counter game just because the OI and the AI is so good.
Right.
If you get that stuff right.
Right. If you get the fundamentals right, players players won't see that you all the work you put into the fundamentals. But if they're right, if they work perfectly, if they don't glitch and don't give the player problems,
they won't notice.
The casual player doesn't care. Thing. Right. He's not going to notice those. He just sees it as a flawless game because everything works the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. It's scary. You get close to that promise of giving somebody fantasy that they want and they've been waiting for. And they've built up their... Before your game even existed, they built up expectations. They've been waiting for a sailing game. So I gotta not screw that up, and I gotta communicate clearly this whole project, like what we are delivering, what we aren't. That's why I'm not hiding this until the day before release. I'm going to be streaming it. I'm going to get people playing it. I'm going to let people know what to expect of this.
Well, let's talk about streaming it. You've got a big event tomorrow night, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about tomorrow night.
Transition.
Tomorrow is the finale of our crowdfunding. Our month is over. We hit our goal. We're hoping to reach another stretch goal. We're going to do a 4-hour Twitch stream from 8 p.m. Eastern to midnight to steer this one into port or whatever.
What date?
That would be Wednesday, the day before the show goes live to your viewers.
Okay, so everyone, go ahead and watch the replay of that.
Right, but everybody's watching. We're live right now.
That's true.
So Wednesday, November 2nd, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time, they will be doing this Twitch. Now, that being said, so you said, again, you're hoping to hit your next stretch goal.
How do you find it on Twitch tomorrow?
How do they find you on Twitch tomorrow?
Ah, Super Ziba. SuperZiba.
So,
fig.fig.co, that's the webpage with everything.
Right.
The site.
And we will put a link on our site to it as well. So if you guys are watching us live, there will be a link on our site.
You mean that one right underneath the video right now?
Never mind. There's a link there already to the Twitch as well.
I thought the one guy who's watching.
So you guys have already hit your first stretch, the extended soundtrack on this.
There's a whopping six.
And then tomorrow's goal, is it just to hit stretch goal 2, which is the Twitch integration into the game?
Yeah, well, part of it is, we want to hit these goals, we want to push forward, we want to make money, but I think, there's several reasons we're doing this stream. One is, get attention, be the good businessman, rally things, but, the number one reason is I personally want to celebrate having done something. In video game development, there are so rarely discrete moments where you can say, this is over, this is done, we did it. You have your launch, but it always sort of stumbles out, you wait for the big press release, like, I want to celebrate a moment with my friends and with the backers who have been good to support this. I just want to enjoy that evening. It's one of the big reasons for doing this.
Well, I going through the lineup tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be quite the evening.
Wait, so what? Are different people playing at different?
No. They've got a whole series of events that they're kind of doing. They're reading Moby Dick.
For about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, five minutes is all right.
That's all you need.
Go on. I think that's what we all read. 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're
saying that's all you need.
I think that's all we all did on that.
That's probably true.
I think the big thing everybody's waiting for is the artist Luigi has been working really hard on his presentation about why the Eagles couldn't fly the ring to Mordor.
That is amazing.
That has
He's
been.
He's not kidding around.
That has been a serious question for a long time now.
Well, anyone who's really, really into it will tell you the reason. I'm not that person.
Because otherwise the book would have been a hell of a lot shorter.
Right, well, exactly. Thank you. That's exactly
He wouldn't
how
have
I
been
was.
Able to write as many words as he did.
Or longer. He could have described it all.
No.
Each feather on the...
He would have found a way.
Well, the other thing that came up in his research was, why didn't Gandalf just cut Frodo's fingers off?
Fair question.
That is a fair question,
also
actually.
You cut something else off, though, too.
Hey, let's just point out plot holes.
Yeah.
Hobbit.
All right,
Big Bang
we are
not. Indiana Jones.
We are not talking about Hobbit penis.
That is it. Draw the line.
Actually, I don't know. You must have missed it because we totally.
We actually are talking about Hobbit penis. That's actually our thing.
Yeah. You did kind of miss that, Rob. All right.
On order.
All right. So one more time. Let's go. Where can people, if they're interested in this game, where can they go to get to buy an advanced copy of it?
FIG.co.
Right, and under that, if you go to fig.co, it's if you hit their games, it's right there in their top list of games right now. So you'll have no problem finding it on their site. And you guys are already past your initial goal, made your first stretch goal already, so you're doing pretty darn well. Again, this thing looks brilliant, and we'd actually like to go on and talk about some other stuff we're working on as well.
Bonus round.
Yeah, we're going to the bonus round. Our stretch goal. You have another piece of software out right now that we really enjoy.
Now you guys aren't millionaires from this. Girls Like Robots did not get you the millions.
It's so cute.
And if it did. Did you invest in your own game? No.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next game that you guys put out that we want to talk about is
Girls Like Robots, which, you hear about it everywhere though.
Yeah, you do. This is interesting because you got
the game or just in general.
That Girls Like Robots. Those aren't robots, Larry.
That's a whole other. We're not. That is a whole other thing, Larry.
Right. Well, they're powered by electricity. I mean,
that's true. They're mechanical. Electromechanical. All right, let's get back on topic.
We're running
off the rail here.
Only sometimes.
All right, I have a theory on what the design was. Let's take a mechanic and do every single possible thing that could be done with it. Was that the idea of this? Because there are. Man, you threw everything but the kitchen sink, and maybe the kitchen sink.
He did. So let's describe let's get the author's description of what Girls Like Robots is all about. That's easy.
That was your answer.
That was my pitch?
That was your pitch. Go ahead and fill us in on what it's about.
In 2012, that's when I was running a booth for this, so I got to reach back there to my showman pitch for this. Girls Like Robots is a puzzle game about seating arrangements. All the pieces are faces, and the rules are their emotions, arranged for happiness.
That is a good pitch for that one, because that really does sum the game up. But now here's where the like Rob said, the interesting thing about this game is it's not just a simple puzzle game where you just you say arrange for happiness. Arranging for happiness is not that easy in this game because there are a whole bunch of twists on how you arrange these parts.
Yeah, it's not always just arrangement. Because,
no,
I mean you're knocking. You know, there's a little bit of Pong in there. There's a little bit of everything in there,
which is breakout. Right.
Sometimes you're playing and you're thinking, how did they come up with this stuff? And the only thing I can think is you probably locked yourself in a room and just thought, what can I do? You gotta be like that.
Yeah, this is my first real extended stint after going like self-employed. So I was locked in there, but I had nowhere to go outside of it.
I mean, that's the way to do it.
A lot of it came out of my personal anxieties about arranging and hosting parties. You just can't make everyone happy.
Same.
I was thinking like weddings too.
Yeah, for
all you married folks, it seems like that kind of what it'd be like.
Oh, I sat like people next to people on purpose. Just to see them.
I know. I was there for that decision making process.
But that can be part of the strategy.
Yeah, Ben was one of them.
That can be part of your strategy in this game. If you play, Rob played a bit. I played a bit.
Really,
part of the strategy of this game can be that way. But now, like you said, this game's been around since 2012.
Yes.
So
it came out. Adult Swim published it on the iPhone. That's the first it came out.
Oh, I did not realize that they were the first publishers on that.
Yeah. In doing my research, I found some other Adult Swim games that seemed very interesting.
Adult Swim games are generally interesting. Yeah.
So
they're pretty high group.
All right. So how did you end up? Let's go again, reaching back in that into the misty parts of your memory. How did you end up with Adult Swim as your publisher on that?
Bold Lies.
All right, well, that works.
I was making this game. I've been working on it for a while, just for the desktop. I was totally like, I'm making a Steam game. I'm doing this. And then, Penny Arcade has the expo. They have one in Boston every year. And so they had a contest to get a free booth. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I'm working on this game. Let me submit it. And the night before, they're due, I'd submitted a while ago, but like the night they're due, I get an email from Penny Arcade saying, you do realize this is a contest for mobile games. You submitted a desktop game. What's up? So I wrote back. I had no idea. I didn't have a mobile version, and I didn't realize that. So I just wrote back to them saying, I'm so embarrassed. I sent you the wrong link. I'm not at my computer right now. Can I send you the right link tomorrow? And I stayed up all night making a mobile version for Android.
Wow.
Wow. Damn, yeah. That is a great bold-faced lie.
Holy shit.
What
good job.
Got some nice.
That is, that's impressive. Wow, that
man deserves a cookie.
I mean, right? It was a lie at the time.
Right, but
but then you sent him the right link the next day, and everything is history.
24 hours later, yeah.
It's a total that's almost a story.
That's like a time lapse.
All right, so
how long was that montage of you? And was it action-based music the entire time?
Was it Eye of the Tiger? I mean, it's a classic.
I'm pretty sure he had that on repeat. All right, so Rob, you've played the game probably more than the rest of us. Your impressions of the game.
Yeah, I'm generally not a puzzle person. I'll play stuff like Super Puzzle Fighter. I'll play sometimes. You know, that Money Exchanger game I think is okay. But as a general rule, I'm not really a puzzler, but it kept me entertained. I think it's because you purposely shook it up every level to keep it
from, oh, yeah.
Yeah, getting into the mundane. It shakes up tremendously through every scene, really. And then you basically, you start with a new concept, and then it builds on the concepts previous, and you go up other than... Yeah.
Yeah, we're intentionally restless, and the pattern we tried to go with was we teach you something, you get to play with a little bit, and then we keep teaching. We don't stop. The whole game, like 90% of that game is fun tutorial.
Yes. I agree, because it does spend a lot of time teaching you how to get in there. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You don't notice it because it's built into the storyline.
But see, I like that, because, again, it does... Because it switches up so much, having that going as you're going through the game makes it a little bit easier. I've hit so many puzzle games where they just kind of, they give you the very basics, and then they drop you off and you're screwed. You didn't show me how to do that. So having the ability, again, seeing how things progress, when it's incorporated in the storyline works.
You do get angry when you don't get the total score, though. I get really ticked if I just squeak by. It ain't ending there. It isn't gonna end there. I'm not gonna just squeak on by. I'm gonna do better. And if I can't get the best, I'm gonna swear a lot under my breath and come back to it later, hopefully.
That sounds normal.
That's pretty much every game you play.
That sounds like
me swearing under my breath. Yeah, but usually I just throw the controller.
That's true.
I carefully throw the controller so it goes on a pillow or something. I pay for my crap. But
yeah, all right, quick pillow.
So we talked about, you've got a PC version of that. You've got the Android version of that. iOS.
So we never actually put out the Android version.
I was going to say, I cannot find the Android version.
Oh.
Never came out.
Okay, yeah, I played the PC version. I didn't try it.
I'm very disappointed.
I see
because I have an Android.
Yeah, can I see a Wii U or Wii
iOS
version?
Yeah. The funny thing is, the definitive version with the most features and everything is on the Wii U.
Oh, so sorry about that.
Where's Travis when you need him? Oh, he's a big Wii U fan.
He is a big Wii U fan.
The Wii U has competitive local multiplayer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, see that I could see being cool in that
seating.
Game.
Do you get to mess up other people's seats?
It's the only part that I didn't personally make. It was developed by a team in Japan.
Huh. Okay, there's got to be a story behind that.
Another bold-faced lie.
Yeah, this is gonna. The Wii U is a good idea. That was the no. I love my Wii U, but
it's a lie they've been telling for years.
So we hooked up with a translation team in Japan who was just, they were translating a bunch of indie games, they did a number of them. They translated our PC version, and then they actually got sort of absorbed by Unity Japan, and Unity Japan wanted to publish games, and they had some close ties with industry people, and to Nintendo, and so they did a multiplayer version. They promoted it. It actually got, if I may brag, it got like crazy good reviews in Japan. It got they sent the Famitsu gave it a gold star rating and sent the publishers a bottle of champagne.
Damn.
And we made no money.
Oh, right.
Ouch. Yeah. Famitsu made a fan comic. The staff there made a comic in Japanese of like the players playing it. So, you know, it's a career highlight. Yes, it'd be nice if it made a bunch of money, but it's still a wonderful thing.
That was some really expensive champagne that they billed you for.
Yeah,
that's where all the money.
Well, you pushed a lot of sales of that game, correct?
Yeah, it's done well. I'm certainly happy with it. It's still selling. It's helped us make more games. We've been in a Humble Bundle, yeah, which, you know, was good. We've gotten, you know, plenty of copies out there. We did a free day on iPhone, which got 100,000 copies out that day or something. So it's great to have the game out there in the world. We also, Microsoft, and I can say this because it wasn't private, they paid us a significant chunk of money to put it on Windows Phone.
I was going to say, is it ever going to be available for an Android phone? I'm waiting patiently.
I don't want to tease you. It exists. And I'm just kind of waiting for the right time, because, like...
Oh, well, they'll right send now, you the
I
link
out,
tomorrow.
I put out a game that came out on iPhone 4 years ago, and I put it out on Android, like, it just sort of stumbles out. And I love the thing. I want to give it a big announce. I'm sort of waiting for that right shiny moment that everyone is looking that I can put it out. I don't know.
Well, you did just kind of tease her on that. I'm not going to lie. That was more than a bit of a tease.
Not to brag send about us, but we're a pretty big deal,
email,
too.
Email Zyba at Pop Cannibal, and I'll send it to you.
All right.
Okay, so, yes.
Totally no
spoiler. She is doing
it
right now. All right, so.
You have 3 games total?
He wants to bring it up.
Go ahead and bring it up.
Bring it up.
It's his favorite.
He did a review on Elegy. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and bring it up.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about something else you guys produce.
Elegy for a Dead World.
That was the one where you were visibly drunk.
So Larry reviewed this, and we
you were visibly drunk.
We occasionally let Larry review games. Sometimes it ends up okay. Other times it's just this drunk mess.
I thought it was kind of an interesting game. It doesn't necessarily fit into like a pure category in a way, because you know, I mean, you're doing this sort of development of a story and stuff, and it's graphical, and there was this really interesting artwork. First of all, you gotta like look up what Elegy means.
You can say for Texas. It's okay.
Well, if you don't know what it means and you get in there, you're gonna go, what is this? But then once you understand what that means, you're like, oh, okay, now I understand what's going on.
Well, it wasn't effigy.
Yeah.
or eulogy.
But that's kind of also the meaning. I mean,
right.
It's kind of like a eulogy, you know? It's
all right.
Like it's, so you're going and discovering this world that is long since gone, and now you're sort of adding about what they were.
Right.
Where we had gone there as the G2B staff, in my review, and we were in search of beer, and it did not go well.
No.
None was found.
So very interesting. Now, where was that in your cycle of games? Was that your second game or?
So when I don't know, as a game developer, there's the games that you claim to, and then there's sort of the unloved stepchildren in the closet, or just the other ones in the closet. It's hard for me to cap. I've got a couple of Xbox Live indie games I'm very proud of, but they're sort of a different animal. They're sort of hobbyists. Before I really quit my job full time and did this, so it's like, but in terms of like, I guess big projects, it is my second game. I'll say that.
So I think he's telling you right now, this is the stepchild in the closet.
No. What I'm saying is, if you next try the back, I've got more secrets.
There were other things we were developing, but this is sort of the second sort of public release.
Say that makes sense to why Larry likes it.
I'm pretty sure those stories when you save them, they go public, so you could
publish them and you can print
Elegy
them.
Has a dead
10,000 stories shared online.
How many?
10,000.
Wow.
Wow. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like huge with the artsy crowd.
Well, because you had that published capability in it, then they like.
I wrote a couple in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, there you go. So that's good.
Larry was naked in mine.
Oh,
that sounds alright.
That does not sound. That does not sound good.
As we know, that's
an air bath.
It's called an air bath. Yes.
As we discussed earlier.
Wow, that was a nice, nice bringing back around. That was really good. That was really good.
Okay, look, guys. Shirtless Saturday is a no-go this Saturday.
So yeah, I'm thinking we should do shirtless Saturday.
Clear latex.
This house is a prison.
No offense to any of you, but I don't want to see you shirtless.
Well, then
especially you, Paul.
I was just gonna say, especially him.
Why not? Dead bods are all the rage now.
Evidently. Evidently. All right. So
I often regret bringing stuff up.
You did kind of bring that up, actually.
I mean, you should.
No one had the idea until you brought it up.
Yeah, if you would have mentioned it.
I was busy talking about a delightful game that was very artistic.
Right, that actually had something to do with the guy who
I do like
the show.
The artwork. Where did the artwork come from that game? That I really liked it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's all the same artist as Girls Like Robots and Make Sale. That's
Okay, wow. So now that's kind of interesting because those are three very different styles of art.
Yeah.
And they're all from the same artist?
Yeah, so for Girls Like Robots, he got kind of angry at the end of that he felt like he only knew how to draw cute things. Like, but then we moved into Elegy after that, and that was, since that game is explicitly trying to draw on feelings of British romanticism, he could draw from a tradition of painters in that style. So, you know, you can Google what British Romantic paintings are like, and that's what he's going for, these sweeping landscapes and things like that.
I got kind of a like 70s fantasy film off of it, you know. It's
same difference.
Yeah. That's pretty. That's a really solid speculation there. We one of the big inspirations was Rendezvous with Rama, which is an older sci-fi book.
Wow,
loved those books.
Yeah, no, that that does look like kind of like the cover of those. But that's So
yeah, you know, I see that now.
Yeah,
now you say that, it's got that tomb feel to it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we try not to say too much about what exactly those paintings are, because you're supposed to put your own interpretation on them. But one of them is definitely a cylinder, a world inside a cylinder spaceship, just like Rendezvous with Rama.
Nice.
All right. So, I think we've covered all three of the games that we wanted to cover. Is there any other questions we have specifically for him?
No, because you asked my art question.
All right. Well, I didn't ask you that question. Well, that they were all the same artist, yes. Well,
yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
So I'm going to have you run one more time down what's going on tomorrow night for you.
Tomorrow night is our Make Sale end of crowdfunding campaign Twitch stream bonanza extravaganza or something. I need a better title.
Close enough.
Basically, Luigi and I are going to be goofing off and drinking for 4 hours on Twitch. We got a whole schedule of wacky stuff you can see. Fig.co. That's happening Wednesday night, November 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You know, speaking of goofing off, so you spend a lot of time doing these games and stuff like that. What are you playing just for fun?
I just finished Zeo Drifters, which was a PSN Plus game from, I don't know, months ago. It's kind of an unremarkable icon, sort of title, but it's actually a really solid, like, four-hour Metroid clone.
That got our attention. Now you got our attention. So what platform?
PS4 and Vita, at least, maybe right. More.
Are you playing it on the Vita?
I just got a Vita, so this was my big.
Ooh, nice.
Are you feeling bad about the death of Vita? You know, PlayStation said they're not coming out with any PlayStation branded games for it anymore. I've had two of them, and I think it was a great device. I act like it's dead or something.
Yeah, you were really, it's not gone yet.
You just don't have one.
Right.
I don't have one currently, yeah.
Right. It's not like the device is gone.
Yeah.
You'll rebuy it.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, Rob rebuys everything.
I probably will.
For the economical gamer, life starts at the death of a console. This is the best time to buy a Wii U.
That is, yes.
Wii U joke again.
Yeah, but
suck
without
Nintendo.
But without as many cool indie titles. But anyway, sorry. Well, it's got one, right? So
there's a fair number of indies on there.
Yeah, it's not. You know, the Vita. What I loved is the first handheld where the indie games really shined on it. I mean, I play like a large amount of indie titles, and I can't believe we're talking about the Vita now. Kind of requiem for the Vita, but that was like the first handheld that really had a whole lot of the games I was playing regularly, so it was really a mini real console for me. I was playing all my games. Really like that about it.
Oh, a little tear.
A little tear about it.
You did. All right, so you've got that going on tomorrow night. If people want to find your other games, they're available on
PopCannibal.com.
So they can buy directly from your site. They are also available on Steam.
Steam and I do have two crazy old. Oh, so this is limited time. This is a hot tip here.
Oh,
you know Xbox Live indie games. That's dying next year. They're killing that.
Oh.
All those old games for the Xbox 360, that's not going to be for sale anymore.
Ah.
So I got two for you of mine, Fish Listening to Radio and Moon Taxi. These are going to become rare items if you don't buy them now.
Is that a Space Taxi clone?
What's Space Taxi?
Well, it's not a Space Taxi clone.
There you go. If you didn't know what it was, it's not. Okay, so wait a minute. Wait a minute. One more time on those titles. Fish Listening to Radio. And
Fish Listening to Radio and Moon Taxi.
And Moon Taxi.
Those are sort of like, you know, naked baby photos of Pop Cannibal, my earliest published games.
Bearskin rug underneath them.
Fish with an F or PH.
God.
Nah. I'm looking at how to play it.
How many photos do you take?
You're too young shots. For this.
Wait, was it on the Android
too? In the
60s, too?
It was a big popular thing. You put a naked baby on a dead bear skin.
Yeah. Suppose I was 28 years, not born yet.
Yeah, so. Exactly. There you go. So.
Did somebody pirate? No.
All right, so those are two games that will be available for a while more on the Xbox Store, but not much longer by the sounds of it.
So you gotta get them now so you can tell your grandchildren that you experienced them.
The very beginning of Pop Cannibal Games. All right, so one more time, you are with Pop Cannibal, and they can find you at
PopCannibal.com and MakeSaleGame.com. That's our sexiest thing going on right now.
The MakeSaleGame.com is the place to go. And again, check them out on Fig, because you can see all sorts of cool things about the game there. They've got a bunch. They've got clips of the game. They've got some explanations. Shows you all the stretch goals they're going for. You can see how well they've blown this out of the water already. So, nice pun there.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You're right on today.
I am,
and
you're
not giving me your credit.
You're not even paying attention to me at all tonight, guys.
You really opened the mainsail on that one.
Hey, thank you very much. See? He gets attention for what he does.
I like the cut of your jib.
Even better. Even better.
We need to be a little more even keel here, okay?
So, again, if you're not doing anything tomorrow night, watch them. If you haven't bought the game yet, get on to fig.co. It's fig.co. It's listed right. If you click on games, it's right amongst the top game there. Go ahead and look at the site, pick up a copy of the game. It looks like it's going to be amazing in a lot of ways. I'm a big one on standalone games, as all you guys know. Also, I like games you can drop in and out of. This comes on both of those things, so it's kind of right up my alley game-wise. All right.
Links to the games mentioned on this particular podcast are listed below in the description. Note, if you don't see it, click that little down arrow. You'll see it after that. Don't forget to check out Guys Games and Beer at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Don't worry, if you type .com, you'll show up there too. Questions or comments, email us at drunk@guysgamesandbeer.net. What, you want to know the latest? Well, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where there are free game giveaways all the freaking time, because we can't play them all. And on Twitter, if you want to talk to Tom for a little bit, where do you go, Tom?
You go to Guys Games Beer. No and on Twitter. Guys Games Beer is our handle there. I've been slacking. I have not given away games in a couple of weeks, so I am due to give away a bunch
of
games.
You gotta get on your tweets.
I did. I've been looking. I just looked back at my tweets for the last couple of weeks and thinking, geez, I need to give away a bunch of games. So keep an eye on that. We've got big stuff coming up this weekend.
And next week is GameHoleCon. This weekend we will be at GameHoleCon live with the big old G2B kiosk and a whole bunch of beer, I would guess. A whole bunch of beer.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of beer.
get it before we drink it all.
Like too much beer.
No. You can never have too much beer.
Be quiet, Matt. You're going to be kicked off the podcast.
I think the Surgeon General would disagree with.
I said like too much beer.
Yeah, you didn't mean that. Like too much beer. So we will be there this weekend. Stop by the booth. Grab
if you see
a beer
us playing
with us.
A game, join us. Come on, we don't bite generally.
Darn straight. We are looking forward to seeing a lot of new indie developers out there this weekend. Our buddy Troy is going to be out there with
yes,
his
he
new
is.
Game. Looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
No, neither can I. So many good games, new games coming out there, as well as a whole bunch of great tabletop gaming. If you're into tabletop gaming, you definitely want to check out Game Hole. Game Hole's held in Madison, Wisconsin. It's usually in November. This is only their fourth, and they're growth
huge.
Has just been unbelievable. They started 4 years ago at the Sheridan up in Madison. They now are at the, I forget the name of the... Alliant Energy Center.
Yeah.
Thank you. Alliant Energy Center.
Convention Center
yeah,
in 4 years.
In 4 years. And filling a convention center. It's unbelievable how their growth has been. Looking forward to seeing all our friends up there.
24-hour gaming room at the hotel.
I know. Stop by our booth. Talk to us. We are going to have giveaways this weekend while we're there. We're going to be giving away some... I know we're giving away a game
handheld
system.
Handheld gaming system.
Yeah.
Not a Vita.
There are going to be some other giveaways at the booth. Stop by, say hi to us, see what you can pick up from us.
Mm-hmm. Or which one of us you can pick up.
That's
or
the easy
STD
part.
You can pick up.
That's even easier.
Especially from Ben.
Hi.
Thanks for watching, guys. Games and Beer this week. We really do appreciate you. And can't wait to see you next week and hopefully this weekend.
And a special thank to our guest, who is...
Pop Cannibal!
And this is?
Zyba.
He's supposed to go.
Zyba, you can say your name. Really.
I'm just kidding. You're making me say yourself. Thanks, guys.
No, because I was gonna say Zyba again.
It's Zyba.
I've been doing it every time. It hasn't been getting better.
And the drinking isn't helping it. Again, thank you for coming on the show this evening. Everybody, one more time, check out Make Sale. Tomorrow night, if you're not doing anything, watch these guys. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. We already have a link on our site to it. Check them out.
Links to everything as usual. All right, bye.
Later, bye.